Welcome to the SpinAxis podcast. I'm Eric Barzeski.
I'm Jason Nickel.
I'm Tyson Deskins.
So today we're going to talk about how forces can aid into hitting golf shots. And we might dive into a little bit of like how it matches up to maybe your swing type. Me and Eric were just chatting offline a little bit about this. Obviously, we all have force plates and we all use them. I use mine maybe a little bit more just because mine are in the ground. And you guys obviously have the ability to like pull them out and move them as you want. Obviously, Eric's got, you know, 3D gears. Tyson's got sports box. So we use a bunch of data in here. I will often see students come in and they'll hit shots on, and I'll show them the graphs and I'll go, here's your swing. And I will often go, here's what your swing looks like. And then here's all your graph data. And I'll go into the graph data and I'll go like, I can make the graph data look different and then your swing can look different. And then I can make your swing look different and I can make the graph data look different.
If you change one, the other changes regardless of which one you say that you're changing.
Yeah, exactly. And so when I often will have golfers come in and they'll say they're struggling where they want to hit a draw and I look at their force data and it is very much a fade based pattern through the ground. So today we're going to dive into a little bit of like how you can change those to help you hit the golf shot that you want. Now, if you don't have force plates, obviously there's a couple, you know, let's talk about hacks into like getting you some feels for that. But for the most part, the golf swing is going to be very visual, right? And so this is where Eric, I believe, was going into. It's for most golfers, it might be easier just to go like, okay, if your arms are at this position in your golf swing, well, let's just change that, right? And I'm saying absolutely for sure. We can also add this, which you can see from face on. I think a lot of golfers don't videotape their swing enough from face on.
For sure.
And that can add into the shot that you're looking to hit.
So we're talking about, we're just limiting to shot shape.
Correct.
Swing path to the right, swing path to the left.
Yep.
Yeah.
Today for this discussion. Okay. I just wanted to clarify that. I agree generally that you can change shot shape or swing path by changing the way the forces work into the ground. Where we might disagree slightly is, and I'm not talking about the people who, like a lot of people that are really into force plates, like the people who sell force plates, will try to fix almost everything by doing a force plate lesson. I'm not talking about that those people. Like, I think we all can agree that there's a time and a place to use force plates, and not everything is fixed with force plates. If a guy's doing some crazy stuff with his wrists, it will show up a little bit in the force plates, but it's not necessarily the way you go about fixing it. You go about fixing it by what it looks like, not the forces necessarily in that one. So we're not talking about that. But where we might disagree slightly is that where the hands and where the forces are going. And I in my mind, I classify a lot of golfers as spinners or jumpers or more linear players, okay?
For sure.
Usually the linear players tend to be the better jumpers or pushers, and the rotational players are the better spinners. So it's almost two categories, but there can be a little bit of a third category sometimes. I have spinners and linear players or jumpers that hit draws and that hit fades.
Yep.
And their patterns are a lot more similar than you would think because of where their forearms rotate the center of the club to, the sweet spot of the club. You can spin a lot, but if you pronate, I guess,
yep,
your lead forearm, the club comes from the inside. So what would you say to that? Because I definitely agree that sometimes, you know, if your force pattern is a little bit more out to the right, your swing path will be generally a little bit more out to the right. And by adding rotations for someone that swings too far to the right, we can bend the path back around to the left a little bit. So I generally agree with all of that. But what would you say to the idea that it doesn't always, and this might be counter to the direction you wanted to take this, but you can address it quickly and then move on to your side, because we agree more than we disagree. But
yeah, well, that's the thing.
We might disagree slightly on this.
Yeah, it is. We agree more than we disagree, but it's just a good topic because,
yeah,
I mean, to everything you just said, I would be like, yeah, absolutely, for sure. Where I would say is you can change somebody where it's like, okay, instead of doing basically rotating your forearms to get the club down, it's like, okay, well, if you're just hitting, like, let's say you're swinging out to the right 3 degrees and we want it to move it to like 1 degree to the left as a right-handed golfer, it's like, okay, well, I want you to just put in more AP force, right? If I can get you to put in some more, which would be rotational, like front to back, basically spinning, we can move that path. And it's like, oh, okay, I just need to feel like I'm pushing more my lead hip back. Yeah, absolutely. Give me that feel. And they do that. And you see it drastically into the graphs. And it's like, well, now your path goes to the left. It's like, oh, okay. So I can keep basically the exact same pattern I want. But when I want to hit a fade, all I need to do is push harder into my lead foot. Like, yes, exactly. And it's like, oh, okay, interesting. I never thought that. I always thought I had to, like, you know, shove the club out, or, you know, get my forearms to rotate the other way, or whatever it needs to be. And, you know, just to like recap that quickly, yes, absolutely. You know, there's many different ways that you can make the golf swing work. I think that people will often just think one dimensionally into that. And sometimes it's like, well, you don't have to change too much of your pattern if we just want to move that angle just a little bit, right? And in our text thread, it was like, well, we're only moving it 2-3 degrees, which when you show people that, or you show like face conditions, it's like, that's so minute in the golf swing. Sometimes it needs to feel like a lot. And again, as coaches, all you're trying to do is find out what's the easiest way to move the player that's in front of you. It might be forearm rotation, or it might be through the force that they're applying into the ground. I find in the latest, let's say 5-10 years of golf, the amount that people move off the golf ball has been limited a lot. Now, don't get me wrong, there are people that sway off the golf ball too much, but I think it's because they're too stagnant in their address position. And if you're somebody that struggles with, let's say you're over the top with your driver and you start centered and then swing up to the top and then swing down from the top, you could aid into moving your path more to the right, again, as a right-handed golfer, if you got some lateral motion off the golf ball, as if, again, you then became that person that moved laterally back towards the target, which is then going to help you drop the club from a better plane. You don't videotape yourself from face on, though. None of this is really going to matter too much for you because you're not going to be able to see those changes that you're making. So Tyson, like when you see people come in, and obviously if you're going to throw them on the force plates and you're just trying to make like subtle changes, do you often just go straight into the, you know, video of it? Or do you sometimes go like, okay, you have a really neutral pattern when you want to hit this shot, here's a good feel for that. And again, do you ever just use the, you know, what you're seeing out of the ground for that?
Yeah, for sure. So, you know, I'll use the plates and I'll just sort of say, if you've never been measured on plates, go find somebody that has plates and get measured. Even if you're not trying to change, just for your education and understanding these things that we're talking about. You know, if we're sort of explaining this to the listeners, you know, we have the three main forces that we're measuring: the vertical force, right, the lateral force, and the rotational force. Those are the three forces that we're measuring. To Eric's argument on this, I've seen players who have amazing verticals, laterals, rotationals that fade it, and that I can have another player who their grass will look identical and they draw it, right? And so to your point, I will definitely look at the graphs and look at those three sort of areas of the forces. And if I feel like those pieces can help the player maybe shift the path or, you know, help stabilize the face in a certain way, I'm going to help them identify that and understand it. I'll oftentimes, when it comes to shifting the pattern of the ball flight, I'll look more at point of application and sort of the line of pressure. Where's pressure going? Like, because I think pressure and force are two different things. And again, I think people need to understand that. And oftentimes, you know, you'll see those spinners who maybe don't produce great force, but the point of application is going, you know, from their trail heel to their trail toe, from, you know, spinning around their feet, their front, their back foot, and their trail foot, which is kicking that club out. And if you can get that line of pressure moving more from the midline of their trail foot towards the ball of their lead foot longer, it's going to help them not throw the club out. That might not translate to like better lateral force for that player, but it is helping them control the club, not being so over the top. And that's the amazing thing with force plates is I think we're still learning, honestly. You know, even I don't know about you guys, but I'm even seeing some players who maybe don't really get their pressure left, but they control low point. You know, for the longest time, we're like, we got to get to the lead side, got to get to the lead side to control low point. When you start measuring a lot of players, you can find really, really good players who maybe don't get there, but don't ever struggle with low point. Like, I think there's a lot for us to continue to learn from these things. And I think the more we can measure, the better. And for the everyday player, like I said, I just encourage you to go somewhere and just go through a session and get this stuff looked at and see where you're at.
Let me ask you this. I'll ask you both. We have definitely several aspects that we can look at on a force plate. And let's say we have a golfer that's struggling, their path is too far in one direction and we want to bend it. The player that was 3 degrees in to out, I might just be like, that's awesome. Keep doing that. That's yes. 3 degrees. That's great. But we've all had players that are 8 degrees in to out or 8 degrees left. And obviously we want to bend that in the better direction. They may not cross over and play a fade instead of the big hook they've been playing, but they can hit a tighter fade or a tighter draw than they were doing. We have, of the two main things, I would say, we have kind of the direction and like the line of pressure and the point of application. And those are kind of directionally based things.
Yeah.
How much you rotate affects where the point of application is at that any particular instant. So we have the directionality of stuff, and we have the timing of things. Of those two things, which do you think has a bigger effect on changing the shot shape or the delivery of the club into the ball to affect shot shape? And I can cut out all this 4 minutes of pausing while you guys think about that answer.
That's a good question. Honestly, that's a good question. And I think my initial reaction, I think, is, you know, the timing is super, super important. I think obviously the direction is as well, but the timing of it is important because that can aid in also the direction that is sort of going. If it's too quickly, then it gets out of line too quickly or at the wrong time. So I would just sort of go timing. Yeah,
timing for me too. The biggest ones that I took from all like the Swing Catalyst coaching clinics that I've taken is that the long drive guys do everything faster, and so that they can have their magnitudes higher or longer. And then after that, it goes into the pros. The pros, believe it or not, if I remember off the top of my head, some of their numbers were actually higher, but at a later time. Right. So then therefore they can't ramp it up.
Their peaks were higher, but they didn't sustain it as long.
Yeah, exactly. And so when someone comes, so for instance, that late swear, right, they might have the same percentage, but it's so late that they can't get it out to the club, which is all that matters in the end. Can you move the club how you want to?
Yeah. So if we're talking about lateral force, just for people listening, if we're talking about lateral force, Smart to Move puts the threshold at like 20, but I'm happy, or 14, but I'm happy I'd rather see someone push at 10 for a long time than to get to 20 or 25 or something like that. And oftentimes the people that hit 20 or 25 or 30, I've seen 30 on lateral force, are the people that kept going right for a righty way too long, and then they have to shove themselves really far and really hard in the downswing, but it's for a very short span of time. So they're what's called the impulse, basically the total area under the curve, if you want to think of it that way, is much smaller than the person who pushes more gently for a much longer period of time.
Correct.
So that's what you're talking about there. Go ahead.
Yeah. So then, for instance, talking about, I have a junior guy just sent in the videos just the other day, right? Just hooking the shit out of the golf. Can I say that? No, I can't. So I had a junior golfer sent in some videos, and he's hooking the golf ball like crazy. Beautiful backswing, great setup, top position looks awesome. But you can see as soon as he starts working down from the top, just massive amounts of vertical. And he's just standing straight up out of that shot, stalls all his rotation. I'm like, okay, well, let's just work on that. If we can get you that feeling of getting your body to turn more, here's a couple of feels that I want from you. So for instance, I always joke about them, but I call them the poor man's force plates, right? Cereal boxes. They're a great example of you to be able to visually see where you're putting your forces into the ground and how much, right? If you put your foot on a cereal box and you make, let's say a push with your lead foot sort of out almost in front of you, and as you're making your downswing, if your foot doesn't really slide that much, you are not putting enough force into the ground out that way, which again would be anterior push. So again, you can aid into that will then drive your lead hip back, which will then open up your pelvis, which then would open up your rib cage. For this golfer would be a really good thing, rather than just going like, oh, okay, can you, you know, do whatever, right? Can you open up your chest? Because right now they probably feel like they're trying to open up their chest, and in the end all you're just trying to do is find a feel that the golfer can then use in order to feel comfortable to hit a golf shot. So Tyson, when you have someone come in and you got them on the force plates and you see that they're struggling with, let's just say, two in out club path, right? What are a couple like go-to little drills that you have with like maybe some bands or some step work, or what do you have that helps them aid into?
Yeah, I think, you know, once again, I'll measure that player, and I'll look at where they're pushing from the ground. Where's the point of application? Where's the pressure? What do the forces look like? Obviously, I'm looking at that. You know, the reality of it is I'm also really looking at their center of pressure, their combined center of pressure. So where's the center of pressure between both feet relative to the center mass of their body, and how's that moving? And, you know, oftentimes, you know, again, we focus so much on the downswing, whether it's video, whether it's, you know, sports box or gears, it's easy for us as players to really focus on all the downswing things, but the backswing is setting all of that up. Those pieces are out of line, and typically they're going to be out of line. And I just see people who don't move their pressure back fast enough. They don't get their pressure behind their mass early in the backswing to create some negative torque in their backswing, because they're just so concerned about creating all the positive torque in the downswing. And so, you know, a number of things that I'll do if I see that player working, you know, too much in doubt, I'm going to measure them. I'm going to look at their swing on video, and I'm going to try to find the root cause of why are they too in out in the downswing. And typically it's not, in my sort of world. It's not because of the ground. You know, the center of mass of the club, and again, maybe the center of mass of their pressure or the center pressure relative to their center mass is out of whack. I'll get those organized. I'll remove the plates. I'll organize their swing, the club, their body. And then once I see that I think they're making a better move, I'll bring the plates back out and I'll measure them again. And then I'll show them the difference. And honestly, typically the difference is not going to necessarily be in the forces in what I see. Maybe I'll see the timing get a little bit earlier from the AP. I definitely see that quite a bit. Maybe the AP lasts a little bit longer, so it's not as sharp as a peak, right? And so that's helping them rotate. But it wasn't because they were trying to do anything specific from the ground. It's because they were trying to organize sort of the backswing pieces a little bit quicker. And you start to see the path neutralize a little bit sooner. And I really like to do it that way for most players, and unless a player is there specifically trying to learn about ground reaction forces, which I definitely have. You know, guys will just schedule a lesson only to look and learn about ground reaction forces. And in that case, it's going to be a little bit different. We go a little bit deeper into each force and the timing and all the pieces. But if I'm working with one of my everyday players, I'm actually trying to do it without the plates and then remeasure them and see if I actually achieve something, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I do that a lot. To add to what you said, I often, especially for someone that comes in for a longer gear session, you know, a 2 hour or 3 hour session, I'll put them on the force plates, just record a couple swings. It'll often confirm what I think I saw from the 3D. And then at the end, I will put them back on the force plates and go, oh, wow, look at this. Your vertical went from 140 to 192. Mm. Or your AP went from happening here at this point in the swing to happening now much earlier. You know, it's tenths of a second or hundredths of a second, but it's much earlier in the swing.
Yeah.
One of the things, Tyson, about what you were talking about, sometimes I'm seeing a lot more lately where people's right leg isn't doing a whole lot in the downswing. Mm. Like they overextended a little bit during the backswing.
Yeah.
And then the right leg and thigh and knee aren't allowed to rotate in, and it doesn't push much. You're right, for a righty, foot should push backward away from the golf ball during the downswing to let your right hip travel forward toward the golf ball and toward the target. And if you keep your right hip kind of back and not doing a whole lot, there's only so much opening your left hip can do, because you're,
that's right,
to get open, we need to move both hips. We need your right hip to swing in toward the golf ball and toward the target, and your left hip to move back away from the golf ball and slightly back away from the target as well. And pushing on both sides of that, think of it as like a stick, you know, the line between your two hip joints. If we push on both sides of the stick, we can get more open. And I'm seeing a lot of people that are pushing really hard with their left leg, both jumping the vertical and the AP force type direction.
Absolutely.
But not doing anything with their right leg. And you're using your left leg, definitely for righty, does a lot more than your right leg in the downswing. But your right leg can't just be inert. It can't just be a stick hanging off your body, holding your right hip back.
Yeah. I mean, that's like people trying to do that to not early extend. I actually shot a whole YouTube video on that, like the tiger move.
I was just gonna say, you just post yeah, something on that.
It's so bad. But there's, to recap, basically there's a bunch of different ways that you can coach and you can help change your swing. Often when you stand behind your swing or you videotape it or stand behind a student, you should just be going like, all right, what dials do I need to tweak here, right? And you can do it through the force, you can do it through videos, you can do it through movement patterns, you can do it through drills. But in the end, you just need to go, okay, here's what the golfer's doing. Here's a couple tools in my toolbox that enables me to correct whatever their pattern is, right? And if you can do it through ground up, or if you need to do it from the club down, it doesn't really matter. And then you just want to find the one or two things that you need that helps balance out your system so you can play better golf.
Absolutely. And I would say, just to reiterate the point of going and getting measured on these, when you actually start to dive into some of this, the coordination of some of these moves, of how the feet are actually pushing against the ground, they're pushing in opposite directions, and the timing is so much quicker than people think. Simply the coordination of this stuff is not easy. And in my opinion, you know, the quicker you can sort of understand some of that and you can start to bleed some of this into your motion, you know, the more efficient your swing is going to be. And honestly, that's when I'm looking at force plate data at this point of my sort of teaching career, I'm looking for efficiency. I'm not necessarily looking to maximize every single force for players, right? Unless it is a long drive guy who's not really pushing pushing against the ground. If I'm just looking for an average everyday golfer, I'm trying to create some efficiencies. And if we create efficiencies, it's going to be more repeatable. It is going to be faster at the same time. And the sooner you start to understand this stuff, in my opinion, the better you're going to be. So go get measured on these things. It's a lot of fun to learn this stuff. And B, it's going to help your golf swing. All right. So
thanks a lot, guys. That was a fantastic episode. If you guys have any questions about any of this, please let us know down in the comments. And if you want us to cover anything, let us know.